gather here on this beautiful Sabbath morning to encounter the risen Lord, let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to gather on this Lord's Day during the season of Easter. We continue to gather for worship and the celebration of the risen Lord, and I'm excited that you decided to join us for worship this morning. If you are a first-time guest with us this morning, welcome. Thank you for joining us for worship this morning. Take a moment to fill out one of those visitor's cards that's located in the pew in front of you. You can drop it off in the offering plate following worship this morning. For those that are joining us this morning online via Facebook Live, thank you for joining us this morning. You can always go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. Pull up our worship bulletin there. Use that as a resource today for our worship time this morning. If you're watching us for the first time online, thank you for joining us. I encourage you to send me an email this week. Let me follow up with you and let me share what First Baptist Church of Elon is all about. If you are looking at your bulletin this morning, for those that are gathered here in our sanctuary, just point out some of the things coming up specifically this afternoon. Our children will be going to Liberty Acres this afternoon at 1 p.m. You'll meet upstairs in the fellowship hall. So for all our children, come this afternoon for a fun time at 1 p.m. It will be a warm afternoon. Sun's going to be outside, so dress for the weather. Should be a lot of fun. Also, just a reminder to our church family as well, at 4 o'clock this afternoon, we will be having our next Elon Roundtable meeting. This is our business meeting for our church family. We have some items that we will be discussing this afternoon at 4 p.m. I encourage you to come out for a time of discussion. Again, it'll be upstairs in the fellowship hall at 4 o'clock. And then immediately following our roundtable meeting at 5 p.m., Phil Thompson and Leslie Cornell will be leading us in our second session of our study, our adult study, Don't Give the Enemy a Seat at Your Table. It was a wonderful time of discussion last Sunday, and we look forward to carrying that discussion over into this session this coming this afternoon. So come out tonight for our roundtable at 4. Stay for our second session at 5 p.m. If you're unable to attend in person for the study, you can watch that session on Facebook Live as well. As you look at our calendar for this week, of course, we've got choir rehearsal Wednesday night. On Thursday, our Thursday book chat will be meeting at 11 a.m. at Barnes & Noble for those that want to attend that time of fellowship and book discussion. And then one thing that Gail also wanted me to point out, because it is coming quickly, the Senior Adult Luncheon is coming up 2 weeks from tomorrow, Monday, April 29th. It'll be a wonderful time of fellowship around the table, grilled chicken luncheon. She already bought the chicken, right?
Yep.
But she's not afraid to buy more. But we need to know who's planning on coming, and it will be a wonderful time of fellowship around the table, so we need to know who is planning on coming for the luncheon and the wonderful time of fellowship and wonderful time of worship. Ron Castile will be coming to share his musical talents with us as well. Sign up today, but the deadline to sign up is next Sunday. The cost is $5. You can't beat that price for any lunch anywhere, and you get entertainment along with it. So $5, sign up in the foyer this morning. You can sign up in the Sunday school classrooms, but make sure you get your name on the list by next Sunday. Next Sunday's the deadline for our senior adult luncheon. Many other things going on in the life of our church. You'll hear about our missions gatherings a little bit later on in worship. But we're here this morning to lift praise to the risen Lord. Let us sing Alleluia to Him this morning in worship.
Well, David's already said the name of it, Alleluia, Alleluia. Let's stand and rejoice.
Our opening scripture reading is Psalm 4. Listen to these words. Answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. How long, O men, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him. In your anger, do not sin. When you are on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. Many are asking, who can show us any good? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. You have filled my heart with greater joy than when there grain and new wine abound. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. When we call to him, he will listen. When we speak his name, he hears us. When we lift up praise to him, he hears his voice. That's why we're here today. Let us pray this morning. God of miracles and truth, bless us as we gather for worship this day. With the power of your Holy Spirit, reveal your presence in our midst and open our hearts and our minds to receive your unending love this day. Strengthen our faith that we may go forth as witnesses from this place of your miraculous love that transformed our lives. We lift this prayer in the name of the risen Lord Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Let's stand and worship together.
For our ministry highlight this morning, I want to point out our two mission collections that will be taking place during our month of April. The first makes an impact in our larger community of Alamance County. The Allied Churches of Alamance County seeks to make a difference in our community by reaching out to the least of these, those individuals that oftentimes get overlooked in our community. We want to assist them in their ministry this month beyond what we normally do. We usually send a team once a month to serve the meal at the Allied Churches homeless shelter. So this month, in addition, we'll be collecting some of the items that their ministry readily uses on a daily basis. The list of items that are needed can be found in your bulletin this morning. Also can be found in your April newsletter. Items such as pasta and red sauce, paper products, seasonings, and personal care items, just to name a few. The needs are great. There are many in our community that are in need, and we want to help them out this month by collecting some of the items. If you would, while you're picking up groceries this week, or at the pharmacy picking up some of the items that you need, pick up some of these items that we can take to Allied Churches at the end of the month. You can place these items in the communication center or in the fellowship hall. Another way that we're seeking to make a difference in our immediate community is through reaching out to our Elon students as they start preparing for final exams. And I know for our Elon students, you don't want to start thinking about final exams, do you? Not yet, but they are quickly approaching. And in preparation for this stressful time of the year for them, we want to assemble and let them know we're praying for them. We want to assemble reading day goodie bags that we like to pass out to our college students. So we need your help. We need you to pick up some individual wrapped snack items or individual drink items, things that we can place in these bags. We're going to be distributing these bags to two of the groups that we sponsor throughout the year, the cheerleading squad and the soccer team is our goal this year. But also we're going to collect some other items for some of our regular attendees, and we'll have these in preparation for reading day, a day that they set aside on the campus as they prepare for these exams. But we need your help. We need you to collect these items. So when you're at the grocery store picking up those items that you need and those items for the Allied Churches, pick up items for the Elon goodie bags as well. They're containers upstairs and the communication center as well to help and place these in those containers during the month of April as well. Again, thank you in advance for your support of these two wonderful collections during the month of April. Now at this time, I'll call on Deacon John Russell for our offertory prayer.
Let us pray together, please. Lord, how do we show you love? And we come here with dings in our armor and scars and things on our mind. And Lord, we just ask you to let us hear your word and let it soak into our hearts and our souls. And let us look around and help each other. But Lord, let us show you our love by doing the things to serving you, to giving to you, and all that we have. We ask in all your name. Amen. And to introduce men, I was told to read Luke, I think it's 10:20, and it's rejoice, for your names are written in heaven.
And it's my- on God's angry frown. When the heavens opened and I saw that my name was written down as a new name written down in glory, and it's mine,
and it's mine,
oh yes, it's mine.
Sing the story,
a sinner has come home. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine,
yes, it's mine.
With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam. In the book saved by grace, oh, the joy that came to my soul. Now I am forgiven, and I know by the blood I am made whole. For there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine,
and it's mine,
oh yes, it's mine,
yes, it's mine.
And a white robe angels sing the story. A sinner has come home. For there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine,
and it's mine,
oh yes, it's mine,
yes, it's mine.
With my sins forgiven, I am bound for
Thank you, men, for our special music today. If you would, join me in prayer this morning before we encounter God's word again this morning. Let's pray. Lord of the dawn, how grateful we are for your loving mercies. You saw our fear and doubt, our suspicion, our mistrust, and you banished them from our lives, replacing them with peace and joy and hope and a mission. You called us to be your witnesses to all the world, unafraid of what others might think or say about us. We have been invited out of our darkened hideaways into the light of your world as missionaries of hope and justice, peace and compassion. Be with us as we participate in ministries of healing and hope through this church, in our community, in our region, in our nation, and throughout this world. Give us courage and strength to be your disciples in all the circumstances of our lives. For we ask this in Jesus Christ's name this morning. Amen. Again, let me say good morning and thank you for joining us this morning on this Sunday morning during the season of Easter. This morning we continue our look at Jesus's post-resurrection appearances to his disciples. Last week we examined the Gospel of John's account of Jesus's appearance to the disciples, specifically Thomas, and how doubt can be the first step on the road to true belief. This morning, we turn to the Gospel of Luke's account of Jesus' appearance to the disciples in the upper room. But first, a story. It was Easter Sunday for the Abuga Christians of Western Tanzania. In one village, a large crowd had gathered to worship. Many, however, came out in curiosity to hear about a God who could possibly conquer death. While they were singing and praising God, they did not know the danger that awaited them. You see, at that very moment, a crazed mother lion was stalking the village, not killing to eat, but just killing every living thing in sight. She had already killed several goats, cows, and even a woman with a small child. Then she turned toward the singers as they worshiped that Sunday morning. When they saw her standing ready to charge, the crowd froze in utter fear. The village preacher shouted, "Pray, my people, pray, because we are worshiping a living Lord. The God who locked the lion's jaws for Daniel is here today with us." Then he turned to the lion and said, "You lion, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, leave us." The day had been partially cloudy, but with no storm in sight. But suddenly, a lightning bolt struck the lion out of the sky, and she immediately fell dead. The tribal pastor ran over, jumped around the dead carcass of the lion, and used it as a platform for his Easter sermon. Before he could give an invitation, 11 people came forward immediately to be saved, as did many others in the hours that followed. They still call it the Easter miracle in Tanzania. But a far greater miracle had already taken place nearly 2,000 years before. Women, sad from the death of their leader and friend, approached his tomb in grief. But suddenly an angel appeared and said Jesus had arisen victorious, not over a roaring lion, but his ally, which was death. So let's look at the rest of the story this morning in Luke chapter 24 in a sermon that's simply titled 7 p.m. 33 A.D. Easter. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 48 this morning. There are pew Bibles in your pew this morning, either in front of you or beneath you. You can draw and turn to those scripture as well. The words will be also displayed on this worship screens behind me. As you turn, we are picking up Jesus' post-resurrection appearances in Luke, following his appearance to Cleopas and the other disciple or follower of Jesus on the road to Emmaus. We remember that story. Jesus appeared to these two followers of Jesus on the road to Emmaus. They did not recognize him. Then, as they walked and they arrived, he ate a meal with them, and their eyes were open to see who this stranger was. It was the risen Jesus, and then he disappeared. These two immediately returned to the disciples, and this is where we pick up our story this morning, reading Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 48. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking that they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. Is it I myself? Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and he ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." I've shared with you before that my New Testament professor at Campbell University Divinity School Dr. Andy Wakefield, who is now the dean of the Divinity School at Campbell, used to end every single New Testament lecture with the same two-word question. And that two-word question is this: so what? So what? We can learn the story, but why does it matter? So I ask that same question to you this morning, two Sundays after Resurrection Sunday, but still in the season of Easter. Easter happened, so what? So what? If it is true that Easter happened, what difference will it make in my life today, tomorrow, and the next day? If Easter happened, what difference does it make in your life today, tomorrow, and the next day? If we can't answer that question, does it really matter that Jesus came out of that tomb? That's my question for you today. So what? Because we can all gather back here in another year. We can celebrate the risen tomb all over again, but if it doesn't have an impact in our lives, so what? This morning I want to give you practical applications of Easter. The best place to look is at the very first application after Easter was over, after the resurrection took place. If we look at a few verses earlier in Luke chapter 24, in verse 33, we will see that Jesus appeared to the two on the road to Emmaus and then ate the evening meal with them. The Jewish evening meal was traditionally at sundown around 6 p.m. every evening. So at sundown, the day ended and the new day began. Immediately after this meal, they recognized Jesus. Immediately after this meal, these two followers of Jesus, Cleopas and the other name we don't know, they recognize Jesus, and then Jesus disappears. That would have been fascinating to me. But it'd be one of the other. I want to be that other nameless one, Cleopas and me. That's me, David. Or put your name there for a second. He disappears. And for the first time, they realize Easter happened. And they're asking themselves, so what? What does this mean? Do we just sit here and finish off the crumbs of the meal that wasn't yet finished? What did they do? He disappears. They immediately got up and they rushed to where the disciples were. So, in time frame wise, it's believed that where the disciples were gathered was about 7 miles away from where these two disciples had their meal with Jesus. Now, 7 miles, and I told you a couple weeks ago that I don't run. Where's Wes Carroll? Wes Carroll runs. We were talking about times this morning. Wes is getting faster, by the way. He's getting faster at times. Just ask him about it. He'll tell you. I'm getting slower. But anyway, 7 miles. 7 miles to get from where they were to where the disciples were. But they were excited. They just had a meal. They were carved up. And when you carb up, you can do things a little bit faster. And they were ready to go. So I can imagine it probably took them about 1 hour, modern day terms, 1 hour to get from that location to where the disciples were. So I'm estimating about 7 p.m. is when they went busting through the doors of where the disciples were all gathered wondering, what are we going to do now? And they start hearing the message of Easter. That's when the word started spreading. So at about 7 p.m., 33 A.D., Easter starts happening. The message starts spreading. The excitement starts building. But the question still has to be asked, so what? What did it mean for the disciples in that room? And so what does it mean for us here today? They were behind closed doors for fear because they weren't afraid of who might bust through those doors. So at about 7 p.m., 33 AD, Easter, we have the very first application of Easter. And from that event, we can see that Easter brings four important practical applications or qualities for our lives today, just like it brought to them 2,000 years ago. The very first application of Easter is peace. It brought peace. Jesus knew the disciples were confused and frightened. He always understands our feelings. So he said in verse 36, the very first thing, "Peace be unto you." This is the first and immediate application of Easter. If we accept Easter is true, the very first thing it brings us is peace. Everyone wants a peace of mind. If you are afraid or worried, you can't think straight, and you aren't yourself, a lack of peace can drive people nuts. It can drive people crazy to commit terrible deeds, drive them to addiction, or even to insanity. Did you know that one rumor about the fate of Pontius Pilate, who could have released Jesus, by the way, but instead he washed his hands of the matter? One of the rumors was that he died in an insane asylum trying to wash invisible blood off his hands. He wanted peace. But at peace with themselves, people can stand alone against great odds. They write songs about being able to pursue impossible dreams, climb every mountain, fly with the bluebirds beyond the rainbow. Think of the headaches and stomach aches you could miss, the doctor bills that you would not have to pay, and the medicine that you could probably discard if you simply had peace. Peace of mind with oneself is a wonderful gift, but peace with God is even better. Easter brings peace with God. When you believe in Easter, you believe in God's Son who arose on Easter. If you know Easter is true, you again make peace with Jesus, because as surely as he arose, he is coming again for you. When you receive his gospel, you have good news. You do not have to fear death anymore. The grave is not the end. You have already passed your judgment test with God. Do you have that kind of peace? If you apply Easter's peace today, tomorrow, you can face your work or your plans with calmness, serenity, assurance, knowing that God's already there, God's already seen it, God already knows it, and you're already in his hands. No matter what tomorrow brings, you will know that whatever you and God undertake will ultimately work out for the good in his eyes. That's Easter peace. But that's not all. Because the second practical application of Easter is that Easter brings us joy. If you look at verse 41, you'll see an unusual statement. It's one of those verses that stick out and you say, what exactly did that mean? And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement. Now, the preceding verses tell us the disciples were confused and they thought they were seeing a ghost. They wanted to believe their joy, but their weak faith said, this just can't be happening. This just cannot be true. Now, Jesus let them feel him to see that he was flesh and bones. Then he ate in their presence because he wanted them to understand it was really him. Now, think about it. If he was a ghost and he ate the fish, that fish wouldn't have disappeared, right? We've all seen the cartoons, right? Casper the Friendly Ghost, Scooby-Doo. And Scooby-Doo, when it's a real person and not a ghost, and they eat something, guess what? That food disappears, right? Not a ghost. If he were a ghost, that real fish would have still been there. When Jesus settles our frustration, peace brings its companion, and peace's companion is joy. Joy is a natural byproduct of peace when we understand the reason for that peace. And joy is always better than happiness. The world wants happiness and fun. Happiness happiness depends on outside stimuli being right, but joy comes from the inside. Joy is from inner peace. Fun disappears when we get sad, but we can have inner joy even in the midst of heartbreak. When we lose a Christian loved one, we are sad, but we have joy knowing they are in the presence of the Lord. Jesus went through death and showed us it is not the be-all, end-all. There is light at the end of that tunnel. That light is Him. It's Him. Jesus has cleared the way and opened up death for us. He beckons for us to follow Him confidently to new life. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, Jesus says, "I hold the keys of death and hell." He has unlocked death, but He has locked up hell for all of us. If we can face death unafraid, we can face anything else. Why? Because of an internal joy that resides with that peace. The third application of Easter is hope. We can read this in verse 44. If Jesus fulfilled all the prophecies concerning His first coming, He will surely fulfill all the promises of His second coming, mentioned in verse 49. The promise is the Holy Spirit. Sure enough, Jesus has returned in the Spirit now. When Jesus was here in person, He was limited by His physical body to one place and at one time. Now, He can be with all His children all the time. That gives us hope. That's why we're here right now. That's why every time we gather here at 11 o'clock, our worship services are not the same. Now, you might be thinking, oh, but it looks the same every single time. You're wrong. Because the very first thing that is different is the Spirit who is moving in this place. The order may look the same. You might be thinking, oh, didn't we sing that song last time? The answer is no, because we do our work every single week. Gabe picks out wonderful music and it's on a different schedule from anything else. I don't preach the same sermon twice, I promise. Maybe in 5 years it may be something similar. I have to check with Phil Thompson. Phil keeps close records over there. He says, "You preached on that passage last year, David." I said, "Yeah, but it was the same sermon." There you go. Phil's my checker back there. Anyway, all of this gives us hope. The Spirit is here and He moves. That's what gives us hope. That means that all that Jesus promised will come true. He has promised to be with us and never leave us, to bless us, to comfort us, to guide us, to work all things out for His good, to protect us from evil, to answer our prayers, to come for us and take us home to live with Him forever. I mean, wow. Everything that we could possibly think about we want for ourselves, God has already figured out, He's already perfected, and He's provided the answer through the Holy Spirit. And then when He's fulfilled it all for us, and when we see our Heavenly Father again, what He'll say to us is, He'll say, "Well done." And I think probably our response should be, "Thank you, you did a great job." Because He's done it for us. And He's continuing to do it for us now. Hope assures us we are going to reign over all things along with Jesus again. Hope makes us not ashamed and gives us boldness to understand us. The hope of Easter will give you the boldness to speak your mind, encourage to make the right choices today, tomorrow, and the next, if you embrace that Easter hope. And finally, the fourth practical application of Easter is the mission. The mission He's given us. Easter brings peace It brings joy and it brings hope. And when we look at verses 47 and 48, we can see that Easter brings mission to our lives. Mission is a Bible word that the secular world kind of has adopted. Mission statements remind us of who we are, why we are here, and where we are going. The mission statement of us, our gathered believers here at First Baptist Elon, is this. We are a Christ-centered family of believers reaching out to all people through worship and service. That is who we say we are. That is who we say we're called to be. That is who we say we're called to be and we're called to follow, because Christ is guiding us. That's our goal. That's our mission. If you walk into many stores in our county, big stores most of the time, Walmart, Target, Best Buy, many of the local stores, you'll see their mission somewhere. Sometimes it's on the wall. Sometimes it's near the door. It's one of the first things you see or one of the last things you see. You pick up a pamphlet or flyer, you'll see something. A lot of times it's really short, so you don't have to print it on a lot of paper. Or it's short, but it tells you what they're called to be, their mission. It's their goals. And that's what Easter gives us. Luke 24, 47 says, Jesus says that the disciples' mission, and since it was their mission, it's our mission as well, is to preach repentance and remission of sins to all nations, beginning in our Jerusalem. You see, this is where we get a little confused sometimes. Sometimes we read this passage and say, oh, we've got to go over to Jerusalem first, and then we got to come back. No, it's beginning where we are. The disciples were in Jerusalem, around Jerusalem. That's why Jesus said, start there and work your way out. And that's what we're called to do today. We're called to start where you are and work your way out. Begin by telling everyone around us the good news of Easter. But we don't stop there. The ripples continue around the world through our going, through our praying, and through our giving. Notice the order. We preach repentance before we preach remission of sins. Only the truly repentant will be forgiven. We must be sorry for the sins and be willing to stop these thoughts and actions that God opposes. Then He'll give us the strength to change our lives. We have to know that. Verse 48 says, we demonstrate His forgiveness by the changed lives we live before others. The question is, will you accept the mission of Easter? We don't have to. We can stay in our locked room. The disciples have the choice to do that. If you decide to accept it, in your schedule tomorrow, your primary business will be changed. Your purpose in life will be changed. You'll be looking for ways to share the love of Jesus wherever you go, with whoever you come in contact with, in whatever way possible, guided by that same Spirit that's in this place today. In closing this morning, since we're looking at practical applications of Easter, I have a challenge for you this week. I don't often give you homework, but I'm a teacher at heart, and so I'm going to give you a little homework. Starting tonight, and for each day this week, 7 days, 1 week, 7 days in total, I want to challenge you to stop wherever you are. At 7 p.m., that may be in the middle of choir practice, Gay. I'm putting you on the spot. Stop wherever you are at 7 p.m. and think about the very first application of Easter that took place at 7 p.m., 33 A.D. on Easter. What difference does the peace, the joy, the hope, and mission of Easter make in your life today? 7 p.m. for 7 straight days. It's not hard. You don't have to turn anything in to me. If you really want to, you can. I'll grade it. I'll give you a smiley face or a check mark. 7 o'clock, seven straight days. Take 5 minutes, think about that first Easter. And think, how does the hope, the peace, the joy, the hope, and mission of Easter affect your life? And I'll be pretty sure if you do, for 7 straight days, the next day for you is going to look a little bit different. Your mood is going to be a little bit different. The way you approach life is going to be a little bit different. And I will almost guarantee that somebody is going to notice it. And they may say something to you. They're going to say, "What's wrong with you? Or what's going on? There's something different about you." And I'm going to go ahead and give you your response to them. And your response to them is simply this: Easter happened. Let me tell you about it. That's your response. So that's the challenge. 7 days, 7 p.m. Take a pause and let Easter happen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for 7 p.m. Easter, 33 A.D., because it has changed our life today. For the peace, the joy, the hope, and the mission that the risen Lord has brought to us and continues to bring to us daily, we give you thanks. May it shape who we are and change who we are, and may it make a difference in the world that needs to be changed. We lift this prayer in the name of the risen Lord. Amen. As we come to our time of closing this morning, as we sing our closing hymn, maybe for the very first time you recognize the change that took place with the resurrection. Let me talk to you about it, what it means to embrace Christ as your risen Lord. Or maybe today you're looking for a church family that seeks to be changed by the resurrection, by that Easter, and that seeks to apply that on their daily lives and our ministry and our mission to the world. If you want to be a part of First Baptist Elon, we will embrace you. Become part of our family. Or maybe today you've been struggling since Easter or prior to Easter with, what does it all mean to me? The so what? Let me talk to you about it. Or maybe you just need to come to God and talk to Him. The altar's always open. Whatever you need to do today, don't put it off. Let Easter happen. Let it happen in your life. Let's stand and sing this morning. Go in peace. Amen.